Well, hello again, church. I get the privilege and pleasure to introduce to you this morning. You probably already know him, Pastor Frank Garcia. He is the pastor at Puerto Nuevo. He was on this campus for many years, blessing our community, and we're so excited to have him join us back today. So I'm going to pray for him as he brings us this message this morning on slowing down. Gracious Father, I praise you and I thank you so much for Frank, God. I thank you for using him as a vehicle to share your message with this world, God. I do pray for each of us as we are in this room today that we have our eyes and our ears and our hearts open to hear the message that you have specifically for us today, God. God, we thank you for Frank's willingness to be used by you in all the ways that he is. God, we pray for your blessings and your just protection over him and his family and over Puerto Nuevo. It's in the precious and most holy name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Welcome. Let's give him some love.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you, Trevor. Appreciate that. Wow. So I am so, so excited to be back. I almost couldn't sleep last night. And just thinking about this moment, so much emotion, so much experiences, beautiful experiences in this place for sure. We continue to do that collaboration. It's awesome. But this opportunity again to come and bring the word, something that God was bringing me through the moments of worshiping. And I want to share this with you. I think it was important to understand that it says in Psalms, in the book of Psalms, that God dwells in the worship of his people. Wow. And I was like, you know, as we were worshiping and bringing that experience, is that Holy Spirit-filled moment, that's what God. And through our righteousness, we are poetry to him. And as we worship, it's I could just see and visualize us perfuming his throne in heaven. And that's just amazing to me. And it just really brings this moment to this point. So, again, I'm excited. Thank you for having me. Pastor Craig is always a blessing to us, the staff and the whole family of CTK and those watching us for sure online today. So thank you so much. Well, and I got to tell you the secrets behind all this. So, but we sat about 6 months ago. We were talking about this series about slow down. And that was at the point that we had no idea that all this was going to be going on. So this just so, I mean, breathtaking that I couldn't even tell you. It was just, again, we were sitting, what we're going to talk about, let's talk about slow down. And as we were putting our thoughts together and praying and discerning over this moment, again, we had no idea. For me, my experience is that the circumstances of life would bring us into this moment that we're living. And that's just one thing that sticks out for sure to me. And of course, the COVID-19, then we go on lockdown, and then we come out of this lockdown, and there's so much civil unrest, and there's so many questions and so very little answers. So it brings us to the moment, which I think is so important to us, to listen, to slow down and listen to what God has to tell us. And I think he has this. These are prophetic times, and I believe that God definitely wants to tell us something. And we need to be ready for those. And of course, for us as a church, is a totally different. We're experimenting. We're doing a lot of things different that we weren't used to. I couldn't even tell you from my personal experience that I would be doing Facebook Live. You know, just and you guys were already, you know, doing it. But for us was so. Even 3 weeks ago, I was like telling my daughter and my, what camera do we buy? Yeah, I have no idea, you know. So, and we're getting there. It's getting a little bit better. So, but we've definitely in the community when it comes to that, because of the circumstances that we're living, it's really had made the church a little different. It's made us look things outside of the box to say. In the personal action against for us, we've gone out to the community, and in this instance, we've been serving. You know, CMS has about 69 schools that when this lockdown happened, they continuously did, they started a feeding program for kids. They were doing breakfast and lunch. And for us, we says, well, this is a great time. Let's volunteer. It's a time of need. So that's the church. Let's go out there and let's help. To date, just personally, us, the church, we've had probably provided more than in the help of 2,000 meals. Let me tell you, that is just a fraction a fraction of the times that we've been there that they do in a week. These meals have probably been around 10,000, all the 69 schools plus. So that is awesome. And this has been happening by volunteers. A lot of them by church people, you know, our church congregations all around Charlotte. So that for me is definitely amazing. We became kind of, for us, a center of referral for loaves and fishes. Any family that was in need, just to give that added plus. We knew we had the kids, but we also had adults and families passing through certain tough circumstances. So we became a referral center, and we helped through that. And that definitely has been such a blessing. And then we met Sarah, and she told us, well, we're starting at the food pantry, and we're doing such great things in there. Would you want to help? And, man, that just been so great. Let me tell you, Case, it's no secret. There's things been happening in this parking lot that are just been miracle-making. Not just because they provide a meal. We've been praying for people and people that need healing, people that we see that they had an ailment in them that we have prayed for, and God has delivered them of the healing. That's amazing. I don't know. I'll be applauding about this time, because that's just awesome. That's awesome. And that we've been listening to those testimonies of people. Man, I was in this dire strait, didn't know where the rent is coming for the next month. And we prayed, and we prayed collectively here, and God opened door. That's been going on in this parking lot. And that's just a small fraction and a small sample of what we are out to do if we slow down. So again, I think these are, there's something very important to us that John 13:34 says something to us. And it's the following. It says, Jesus tells his disciples, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you, so you too are to love one another. And it's reciprocal, right? I love you, you love me, and then we could love everybody. So it's an important fact that's what the church and our kind of next steps forward is to do. I want to take it a little bit step further. And again, this is just an amazing of sharing a little bit of experiences. Again, what's happening in church, probably as many as the many there in Charlotte. So I have my sister-in-law from the Philippines, just been here 2 years, a foreigner, trying to, you know, figure things out here in America like most. And she was, I just was curious and told her, Rebecca, how's the Philippines doing? How's your family doing? I mean, what's the, if we're experiencing this, is how you're experiencing. He says, man, there's not that abundance of resources like we see here in America. And I just told you a little bit of what we're doing. But it says over here, they just gave us like a little bit of rice and some oil, and that was it. You know, some cooking oil, that was it. That was what the government gave. That was her experience. And I told her, you know why? I said, how about we give a love offering? And would you send it to your village, send it to your family, or send it to someone that you could? And we just left it at that, and we did. Just weeks later, we start pouring us. They send us a video. And I can't tell you, we were thinking we were actually doing, which we did. But the videos that we were getting back from children, so many children that had a handicap that were definitely were giving us thanks for thinking about them so far away. And it just touched my heart. We showed it in the church a couple of weeks back, and there was tear in every eye. And that's how impactful it is. And again, it's not as a testimony to us, but it's a testimony of the power of the church and the power of God in continuous movement, his movement. And that's what we need to cherish. That's what we need to ride on. So these are unprecedented times, and we must be willing to be able to reach people differently. You know, the old church models was just like we have the church, the community, the people out there come to church. We definitely have to do some sort of attractional piece in order to get them because there are so many. That was the church model. And I think God is calling us to be different. He's saying, hey, now it's us have to go out and reach the people. We have to leave. We have to leave our safe places in order to, because if not, we wouldn't be experiencing what we're experiencing, and most of us are. So we definitely need to go out. So it takes out now, and I like putting things as, and I was, as I was thinking at this, and so God, what would I call that? What would I call that? I said the encounter of the third kind. that was my just on my sheet, because we definitely need the authority, we need the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was it. And I had to put it that way in order to say that it's not us. It's just God telling us that what we need to do in these times. So this is definitely a journey. And Jesus taught us the same thing. You know, Jesus would go out. And his disciples would follow him. And he would encounter people in different places. Right? And in those different places, he either healed. He gave counseling. He definitely listened. And sometimes he rebuked. All in the name of love. And that was him. And let me tell you something, because this is something I was thinking about too. And I don't know why this one word sometimes pop in my head. And I was thinking about wells, just regular wells. Let me tell you how wells in biblical times used to show up. I'm not sure if you know the history. Every time that Abraham had an encounter with God, they would erect a well. Or an altar, a stone altar in that particular place. That's how they did. And I've been to the desert many times. in different, not that I wanted to, because I was sent, I was in the service for many years. So in out there is barren, there's absolutely nothing. So I would say, how do they move from point A to point B? I would definitely get lost. But let me tell you that these wells, and it's in the Bible, usually in the Old Testament, Abraham used to have an encounter with God. He would lift up a well. And then it happens to be that it was passed on to the next generation, which was his son Isaac. So Isaac knew the wells where Abraham had placed them. And Jacob knew Isaac from his grandfather Abraham where these wells were. And I just want to put this in perspective, because I believe that today in our communities, the church, CTK, is that well. And every time God had one of the most, you know, one of the parables of the woman, Samaritan woman, as I was thinking about this, he encountered that woman on where? On a well. And remember, he kind of took a shortcut. He didn't go with his disciple. He decided, I want to go through the Samaritan area, and met that woman at that well. Most likely, Jesus knew exactly about this well because it was the encounter long ago that he had met others in the same place. So this is what these communities, all these church belong, right? Give water to the thirsty. And he says, and through my well, you will never thirst again. So I believe these are the times that we're living, and it's just so important for me. But let me tell you, we definitely, what we were thinking about outside the box, in John 21:1-7, and I thank Michelle that was talking about casting. And really, sometimes we were just talking about it before we started this morning, and we could affirm once again that God's on the right track when he gives some sort of words of affirmation of what. And this talk about John 21:1-7. Now, this is a story. It might show up, and you guys could read it, but I'm going to paraphrase it. This is the time where Peter, Thomas, John, and James went out to fish. And they fished all night but didn't catch nothing, zero. And they came back, and Jesus appeared, but they didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus told them, hey, could I have a fish? They said, sorry, we have fished all night, and we have nothing. He says, you know what? How about if you go back out? But this time, what I want you to do is cast the net on the right side of the boat. And they said they cut so much fish, it was really hard for them to bring it inside the boat. I believe that's us. I believe that God is telling us to go in a new direction, go back out, but this time just cast the net on a new direction. You know, we live, the church exists because of empty seats. And we definitely have a lot of empty seats today, don't we? But I think it's different. I think it's different because he's telling us to go out. Go out and find them. Go out and cast this net in a different way and show them. So we're gonna get there, and I'm going to show you a couple steps that we could take so we could continue. So like I said, the church, it definitely exists for these empty seats. We are now faced with a lot more than what we have, but we definitely like to have some sense of normalcy, right? We would like for it to be like it was before. It's just natural for us to think that way. But again, like I said, I believe this is something a little bit different. This time, the Spirit of God seems to be saying, hold on, not just yet. Take a breather. Slow down. And let's look at this. I don't know about you, but in this time that we were on lockdown, I really spent some quality time with my family. And I'm a pastor. Right? Isn't that? Sometimes I'm just speeding in, speeding out. Don't talk to me. I got another. But we really slowed down. We were playing Bible Jeopardy and having fun. The whole family. I haven't seen my kids, and they all work. They're all adults. You know? And we were digging into, you know, we were having family. We call it family altar times, where we just open, let's talk about this Bible verse. And we really, let's look for this hidden treasure. What does it actually mean? We all had our Bibles on the table, and boy, did we enjoy it. We enjoyed it. I think, man, now let me tell you what the world is trying to make me do, is join another Zoom meeting. Oh, my goodness. I have so many IDs, I can't tell you which and what time I need to log in. I am so lost. By the time I figure it out and get to the meeting, it's thank you for being here. It's done. But that's what the world is, you know? They want us to be busy bees. But we definitely need to take the time. And I think God is prepared it, right? I was watching reruns from the NBA Finals 2006. That's what we're up to, you know? There's no NFL, no NBA, no MLB, no ACC. I'm enjoying, I'm starting to figure out golf. I have no idea what, I'm even watching those reruns, you know? And we've just gotten a little glimpse of NASCAR coming out, you know, but having no fans. So, I mean, to the point that we're debating a little bit about now if schools should open or not. So, But what I see is opportunity. I really see opportunity when all about all this. So I believe in going out intentionally to meet people. Now there's some people like me, believe it or not, I think most of my years of having to grow out, but there's introverts out there, right? There's some people that are quiet, people that wish to have their space. They enjoy this, right? This year is social distancing, putting up, you know, you don't want the people to know. Some people are enjoying it. But for those people, I have to say, we still have a mission to accomplish. And I think I have some things in there, some reminders. And with that, you know, when trying to meet people, I've been there. It's hard to there's some stressors. There's some anxieties to really. I think I told Pastor Craig once in a devotional about this, that even me, I have to tell you, I'm not except to most. I've lived in my neighborhood, and I've never knew across the street my neighbors. And they've been there after they told me, we've been here 5 years. But I never knew their names, never interacted. One day I decided, we had a series actually called The Order of Neighboring. Right? And I said, you know, took a deep breath and said, I'm going to try it. Walked across the street and said, my name is Pastor Frank. And they looked at me. And they were like shocked. And it happened to be that they were Latinos. They were Hispanic. We met, and man, we had so many things in common. Started talking. And then today we're down to waving and, hey, I'm going out. Will you check my mail? You know, And I said, wow, but we missed it. We missed so many years of we could have done this way beforehand, right? And have this relationship and really be different. So that's just something that But I want to remind you this. So sometimes we feel scared, and the part is this. Let me tell you. And this is found in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Christ call us his ambassadors. His ambassadors. You know, this was revealing to me because at one point in my career, I worked in New York. I worked in Manhattan, really close to the World Trade Center. And I used to pass through that building, the United Nations building, and I used to see all those diplomatic cars come in and out. And it struck me how important is of this title of God telling us why. And it came to realize that, I don't know if you knew this, but let's say a car come on and it was Guatemala. And they had the flags. You know, they got the flags in their cars and it says the diplomatic place. Do you know they have diplomatic immunity? That means if they stop in a sort of a red light or they eat a red light, or it's hard to arrest them. The inside, you can't even go put your hand inside of the car because it's considered sovereign country. You know? So in order for them to, if they break the law, they really have to talk from embassy to embassy. And most of the times they get expelled and just sent away. And here God calls us his ambassador. That means we have diplomatic immunity. We have authority to do many things, believe me, that comes with that title. So that gives us a sort of an easement to know that if you're going to meet somebody or I go and have a church meeting, that I'm going because of that purpose under his authority. And he's already moved the kingdoms and he has already moved everything that needs to be just on accordance to prayer because he has me. Because we move under that authority. And that was huge for me. That really gave me a lift. And that introvert in me just almost started phasing away. Because I said, you know, I come in the name of the Most High. And he has given me certain privileges and certain areas that I could go and talk to people. And I know that it's him that I come in. If they say something that they don't want to meet me or they shut the door on my face or whatever, it's okay. I just move on. But I know he sent me. I know I have that authority. And it goes a little bit but beyond that. And let me tell you that in Acts chapter 17, 26 and 27, God starts that the verse says in one blood. In blood, one blood, right? That we're all one blood. And that's amazing right there. Because that tells me that if we're one blood, that means really that the person across the street that I thought was a neighbor was a little bit distant from me is actually a relative. It's actually my brother. That's what God is saying. He says, we're one blood. We have something in relationship to. We're related to that person. So that even gives me, so here I'm thinking this part. So I'm an ambassador. And definitely he says, we're now related. And he says that he has put us in the dwellings and the places of where we at. That means that there's no coincidence that you're here because you thought you'd move because of the job. No, I really believe it was divine. God brought you here for a reason. And I bet you if I tell you, okay, raise your hand if you're a Charlotte native, I don't think I'm going to get a lot of those. 2, 3. But I know I didn't, and that's my story. And I'm a byproduct of what I'm saying. I remember I was going to put my family. I said, you know, babe, I'm gonna leave again. I think that was like my third combat tour. Like I told you, I've been in the desert. I've crunched a lot of sand around my teeth. I used to wake up in the morning and just piles of sand on my chest. I can't get rid of it. And I said, babe, and then I told her, I said, you know what? I passed through this church. And she was. I said, I really would like to find a Spanish church. I said, baby, I think I saw one. I think I saw one on what they call South Tryon. And it was right here. It's with Pastor Damaris at the time, right in this place. And I left 1 year to Iraq. And she found the church, got involved in the church, and here I am today. So, and I bet you that's a lot of our stories. You know, God brought us into this moment because, again, there was destiny to what we were about to do. And we took it. We took it. And that, for me, that's always been a blessing because I know we come out there. Let me tell you, it's hard because sometimes you get to the point when you move to a place and it could be a job move. For me, it was always like that. I moved every 2-3 years. In the first 3 years of my service, I moved to 3 different places. I lived in more than 14 different states, probably 14 different countries. And let me tell you, there was anxieties in every single one of them. What are the schools going to look like? Are the people who I'm going to take the guy's job over going to like me? I mean, is it really bad that I'm going to have to, you know, redo this whole department or plan? But you know what really brought me peace was the point that I could always, and I learned this afterward. It wasn't in the beginning. It took me about 5 or 6 years. That in my checklist of things to do, I would always find a church. In that church, I would read it, right, almost like I did for my house. Where's my house? Where my kids are going to go to school? What my job is going to be looking? What's my route? But I would put that in the circle, what the church is going to look like. What do they believe in? Well, how would I feel on it? And this then started to become my modus operandi. And God never left me. Always provided. Took away all those anxieties that I know many of us would face or have faced in before. So this is where we definitely. So at this time, the surrounding, right, I always ask help, you know, God for help and to navigate the waters of uncertainty at those days. And he always delivered. He always showed me the way. He always brought me to that port, that new port, that new fresh new look where I could just be in koinonia with people, community of faith. We have something in relation, right, relationship, and then move upon that. And everything else was just extra. So now let me tell you about 3 things, and I think this has to involve a little bit about people. That in the encounter of people, sometimes, and I'm like I said, I'm usually guilty of this. I like to read a lot, and I like to look for the Bible and all good verses, and then sometimes me and my wife play, well, let's read it in the Greek, and let's read it right in the Hebrew and figure out, you know what, the different words. But people don't want information. We're used to that a lot. What God is actually looking in a particular always situation with people is transformation. Always. Always. So we don't want to fall victim to trying to, you know, learn a lot. And, well, I'm not going to talk to that person because I need to get well-versed, well, before I go and reach out to them. No. Let me tell you, for some people, you can write this down. For some people, the only Bible they will ever open is you. Get it? They're just going to see you. And what testimony that you have and what's your attitude and that's it. They're going to be looking at you. And I tell you, that's powerful. That's very powerful to do. And that's why I said now it comes, the ambassadorship comes with a little flavor, a new reality of things about that authority. But we need to be transferring. Again, it's not information. We're in this process to become the disciples, right? And then it's not in the sense of that classroom learning sense, but it's to know that God is a craftsman, and he's gonna equip you exactly what he wants to reach from you to other people. Romans 8:29 tells us to become Christ-like, and that's what I was talking about. People are always gonna be looking at you first. Most likely, they're probably ever gonna open up a Bible, but it's you who they're watching. So we need to lead by example, and that's why it's so important that we need to slow down for God and definitely get up. The other time is, listen to this, growth, real growth takes time. It's going to take time. I know, we live in a society now, I always tell them, I got 3 speeds, quick, fast, and hurry. That's my 3 speeds. That was what we were living always, you know? But we need to slow down. And we live, of course, in the age of the fast transportation, fast computer, fast internet service, fast food, and it's only getting faster. But remember, as part of the biblical assumption, things always took time, you know? It took time for creation, took certain days for God, right? The redemptive history and our own spiritual growth has taken time. You know, we probably could figure out where we're at now from where we were before. We could definitely plan if we've seen some growth with it. And if not, definitely meditate what needs to get better, right? The other thing is that we need to slow down, walk with the God. And we cannot love what we're not willing to linger over. That's important. We need to linger over certain things. It's hard to know that we can't easily comprehend. Lingering, by definition, takes time. It's a comprehension that requires time-consuming concentration and meditation. And I put this in the times of we need to go in the Word of God. We need to dwell on it a lot more. And we need to take the time for God to respond back through that Word. Sometimes we pray and then we're waiting for something, but the answer is right here. You know, 66 books, 33,000 verses, it's in here. He's going to tell you. But we need to take time to read it, meditate, reflect, and have those devotional moments with other people, that relational piece. And He's going to respond. I guarantee that. The other thing is that is God's speed. God has a speed. And it, we might think it's slow, right? We pray and, wow, God, I'm not. But let me tell you, God's speed, He's always in a continuous motion. For us modern disciples, He might seem that way, but He is also patient, according to 2 Peter 3:9. We must take our time. We must take our time to slow down in order to listen. And I want to tell you, and I'm concluding, God is love, and the awesome responsibility bestowed upon us is to shine His light. That's what we're here for. At times, the only, like I said, the only Bible is going to be you. The only thing that people are just going to look at is you. So we must bring our best foot forward, always representing the kingdom of God as ambassadors, Christ-like, to become and to move forward. And again, these are although we might not make sense right now of these times, but let me tell you, God is in control. This is a God moment. There's no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in our minds. So I want to thank you for the opportunity again. I want to bless you all for the opportunity for me being here. And I surely want to lead us in prayer today. And man, there's so much. But I'm going to dedicate these next couple seconds in praying and to discerning these times again. First of all, Heavenly Father, I wish to thank you. You are such a gracious God. You are definitely a provider, a healer, a miracle worker. You are that standard bearer. I want you to take our life, lead it where you believe would cause to bear the most fruit. We know that the plans that you have for us are much greater than the ones we have for ourselves. Our life is yours. Open our eyes to see you. Open our ears to hear you. Have us slow down and move into the areas that need to be changed. And I want to ask God to take care of us, protect us. I want to ask you for all those who are experiencing some sort of difficulty with this pandemic in the hospitals today. Oh, that might be in those hospitals, oh Lord, or quarantine. Oh, that you change, that you breathe life into their lungs, that you remove any virus away from your people, that you protect us, that is that your air that changes, your visit, your presence, your glory, your mercy,
is what we need. So protect us, oh Lord. And I want to thank you for being. I know you walk with us every day. We want you to guide us. I know you lead us. I know you have us. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you. And we love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.